say real quick, awesome riff, man. That was great doing that.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Way to rock us out to start. Hey, guys, if you're looking for more info on Warhog or Kelly Defense, you can go to warhog.com or kellydefense.com. You can also hit us up on Instagram at Warhog Tactical and Kelly Defense, or you can also hit our YouTube page, which is Warhog Tactical and Kelly Defense. So guys have all kinds of ways to hit us up. And don't forget On the Range podcast as well on Instagram, and DM us your messages and we'll answer them during these podcasts.
Yeah, man. How's it going? I know that the COVID-19... it's still happening. It's heavy on everybody's mind, but it looks like we're starting the reopening the country procedures here. I know every state is different. How's it going down in North Carolina? It seems to be a little bit of slow rolling up here in the Midwest.
So the governor extended the stay-at-home order till, I believe, it's May 9th. We'll see where things kind of turn around and shape up. I think Georgia is starting to open up, or I think they opened up their bowling alleys and hair salons, stuff like that. So again, each state's different, and guys listening out there, you know, just hold tight and we'll get through this thing here eventually.
Yeah. I think Georgia, they opened up several days ago and I haven't heard much about it. Really hoping that everything's going well. I know some of the elected officials at the state and municipal levels, I know that's a tough gig, you know, being an elected official. I haven't had that experience, but, you know, you and I having some experience where big decisions need to be made that can impact someone's safety. You and I have been there, been doing that a long time, and I get it. But at the same time, it's got to be tough to weigh those scales. You know, people are afraid. You know, I just don't know how much longer we can sustain this shutdown economically.
Yeah, I mean, but part of it is, you know, there's so much hype. And I think here's the problem is you're getting the media pushing all kinds of stuff. You know, the president's putting out his stuff. You've got the states and local municipalities putting out their stuff. And really, at the end of the day, what's right, what's wrong? I think you had a couple of docs out there in California say some stuff to get everything stirred up. The problem is, I think with this whole thing, it's all misinformation and nobody really knows where to turn to or what's the truth or what to do.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's a great point. Some folks have let us down. The two that come to my mind right away is, well, number one is the media. I think this is a perfect opportunity. If you're the media and you took a beating like you did 4 years ago, you know, getting a lot of the election stuff wrong, and then you went through this whole deal about trying to bash the president. And no matter where you fall on that, this was a good opportunity to use your platforms to get that information out. When you see people standing in the middle of a parking lot or middle of a park where there's nobody else out and they're wearing a mask because they're afraid, that could have been impacted by some good, solid reporting and pushing out some good info, instead of, you know, just going at each other's throat all the time. That's really what it's gotten down to.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. I mean, the media should have been, this is just my opinion from the get-go. All right. Hey guys, you shouldn't have to tell people to practice good personal hygiene, but you know, we can reemphasize it as you learn more about the virus and what it's doing. And all right, we're doing social distancing. Okay, cool. But then you start going, all right, now it's lasting on things longer. So is this an airborne disease where I'm catching it in the air? Is it I'm picking up off of stuff? Is it I've got to spray down my groceries? I got to wipe my groceries. I've got to let my box from the UPS man sit out on the porch for 3 hours with the sun cooking. I mean, there is so much information, or I should say misinformation, that, yeah, you halfway instill a panic in people and people don't know. Like you said, you're out there either in the middle of the park. You're the only one out there with your mask on. You're driving in your car with the mask on, which,
yeah,
okay, you know, it's, but nobody's, on one side, it's like, hey, if you keep social distancing, if you stay 6 feet away, you'll be okay. All right. But if it's an airborne virus, and I'm not the smartest guy going, but I'd say, let's say hypothetically, the guy in the car in front of me sneezes out his window. I'm driving along, the air's on. Is that not being brought into my vehicle? I'm spitballing, throwing things out there. You know, is right?
A lot of those answers, you know, go out there and do some good research and put it out to the folks. You and I obviously have a much greater appreciation for what Americans can do.
Sure.
If they're given the right information, let them make the decision with good information, let them be informed and let them make the decisions based on the information that's being put out there. Because right now it's really not a whole lot of information on the scenario that you just put out like that. Nothing. They don't talk about it. And, you know, a lot of people already believe the numbers that were coming out of the Imperial College and in the UK, and that IHME organization, they keep revising their numbers. I think that I said that acronym correct, but they keep revising their numbers. And some of those numbers were so astronomical, it's natural for folks to get afraid, maybe even put some of these things like the country on lockdown, because that's the information they had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So my second disappointment is the state and local governments.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that some of these governors, and, you know, I don't think we need to name any names, but everybody knows the ones that have been out there the most, seem to have taken this perceived power and really ran with it. You know, and I say perceived because I don't believe that any emergency shreds the Bill of Rights. And I think people are really starting to get afraid of that, or tired of that.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny you bring that up, because you had out in California, for example, you had that one judge that overturned, because out in California, you need to do a background check. If you purchase ammo over 500 rounds, the state requires a background check to be conducted. Okay.
Okay.
So you had this judge overturn that, you know, with this pandemic going on, which you can halfway go, all right, makes sense, but it happens for a day. So you had people, you know, try to buy ammo, and then next, you know, the next day it's flopped over. But it's like you're saying, you know, we've got the Bill of Rights there for a reason. And I'm with you, man, just because there's some type of, you know, emergency going on, there's no rights that, you know, there's no reason those things should be slashed. I got it. You can put information out there to educate the people going, hey, we recommend you stay home because here's what we know at this point. You know, the numbers and these other things, I'm not a super big fan of numbers, because I've seen numbers be skewed 20 different ways. You can use numbers to your pro, you can use it to your con. So you've got to be careful when you're looking at numbers. But like you said, we need these elected officials to make the best decisions. But then in turn, it kind of goes back to stuff we do on the range, the why.
Right.
Here's why I'm doing this. And people would be more apt to go, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people, you know, they're being underestimated by some of the folks that should be putting out this information, that they would make a good decision. I think most people would if they had the good information that they needed to make those decisions. But I have a lot more faith, apparently, than some of those politicians do with the American people. I have a lot more faith.
Well, yeah, it's like this, right? So you see people trying, you know, doing all kinds of crazy things, putting gloves in their hands, putting all kinds of different masks on their face. You know, do I need an N95? Do I need a cloth? Do I need my shirt, bandana, whatever? But it's like, just explain, if it's an airborne disease, okay, a mask will help prevent that in your quote unquote public settings, such as your supermarket, stuff like that. Do you need it driving in the car? You know, just tell people, educate them. I don't know.
Right.
Same thing with your gloves. Do you need your gloves as long as I'm not touching my mouth and washing my hands once I come back from a, if you want to say, contaminated area?
Yeah.
Right. So I think education is the biggest thing.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is you're going to have conflicting information, because people are going to come up with, you know, even experts will come up with different conclusions, and that's fine. But you put it out there and you let the American people make their decisions. Now, well, and then that's another thing too. What, you know, what is considered good information, misinformation? I want to hear it all, unless it's something that's blatantly out there to hurt people. But you know, that's a term that's been flowing around social media. You know, we will remove the misinformation. That's another slippery slope that you know, we don't necessarily want to go down either.
Well, no, but it's like this though, right? Here's typically the problem with politicians, is politicians get on whatever their soapbox is and they stay there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not very good at, if you want to say, changing their mind when more information is presented. So here's a prime example. You know, whether you have it coming out via the media, whether you have it coming out via federal, state, doesn't matter. If you caveat something with this, this is what we know at this point. Should something change, we'll inform you. Well, then, yes, I might have said, hey, everyone should wear gloves. Then we realize, as we get smarter and do more research, that gloves don't help. Hey guys, you don't need your gloves. And again, I'm not saying you do, you don't. I'm just using that as an example. Right. But misinformation, I mean, it's kind of one of those, you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. So you're putting out what you think is right. Just don't over embellish it.
Yeah, it's crazy out there. And then, you know, the collateral damage from the lockdown is something that, you know, is a huge concern now. 16% of, you know, the workforce now is on unemployment, where before it was, single digits, well below, double digits. It can't help but have other side effects, violence in the home and outside on things like that. Those are other things that are going to come from it. It's not just protecting one thing. You can do two things at once. And I think we're not really doing that right now. I think we're trying to get started back up, but you can do two things at once. And I don't think they did that here.
No. Again, everything was kind of a knee jerk. Nobody really knew what was going on. Like I said, the media, in my opinion, from Jump Street should have just educated the American people going, hey guys, check it out. Conduct good personal hygiene. We'll feed you more info as we get it. And then as it changes, great. But I'm not, like I said, I'm not a super fan of numbers because you can skew numbers however you want. So when you start going, okay, there's umpteen cases. Well, cool. But do you ever come back and go, out of those umpteen cases, how many were false positives?
Right.
We've seen that.
Yeah.
So it's.
Yeah. The narrative hasn't been, let's push out as much information as we can and vet it, the best we can before we put it out. And then start acting on information that's coming. Now, we've been doing this long enough that we should be having some different information from what we're seeing on the ground. It's not just what we think is going to happen that happened in another country. We have our own numbers now. We can start acting upon those.
Yep.
That information has got to be coming in constantly. And I don't think they're doing that either.
The only thing I can say, I will just use North Carolina as an example. So, the governor got on there, a couple of days ago when he extended the stay at home order, and he based it off of the way he saw the numbers in the state as far as the cases. And he wasn't happy because we hadn't hit the top of the bell, as they all talked about. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was on a downward slide. It was still kind of on a slight upward creep. And he's like, let's just extend this thing for a little bit longer. If those numbers are right, and again, you have to, you're throwing them back and forth. If they're all truly, cases, and they're not, these false positives, and they're skewing the numbers, then okay, I get it. But at the end of the day, you've also got to look at, like you're saying, unemployment's out of control. So what's going to be the accordion effect of that once all this is done?
Yeah.
That's cool. I got, a buy on my mortgage for a month or two. I got a buy on this, but people are still going to have bills and debt incurred over this. Yeah. It's going to take us a while to kind of pull ourselves up a little bit.
Yeah. I really feel for those guys. A lot of those industries have been hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
It's rough. We are tough, but this is a tough one. It's going to take some work to get through it, but I have no doubt that we can.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think that, the light's out there. It's just, people just need to keep faith, keep your head up, keep yourself safe, wash your hands, keep your hands out of your mouth, and we're back to business as normal here shortly. Yeah.
So, you had a pretty busy weekend this past weekend, I guess.
Yeah. We were down, went back down to, Panteo. We filmed another instructional video. The difference with this one is it wasn't your classic firearms training. So it was how to use airsoft as a supplement to your firearms training. I'm super excited for that one to come out. I think it's going to open some eyes, give people some different avenues to look at when it comes to their, developing their own training plan, and let you train right at the house. So even though something like this, not that I want to see it happen again, but it will give people some options that they can actually do some training at the house.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. Now, when's the release date expected on that? I know just shooting.
Probably the end of May is when. So what typically happens, probably in about 2 weeks or so, they'll be able to do it on the streaming. Then it'll be available for digital download. And then usually about a month is when the DVDs will come out. So I just got the DVDs in, which I'll be putting on warhog.com here this evening for the concealed carry DVD or concealed carry instructional video. So that takes the longest just because it's got to go to, if you want to say it, what do they call it? A DVD, either burner or manufacturer, whatever you want to say. So it's got to go there to get the DVDs actually done. That usually takes about 10 days to get that done. So that's where the lag comes in. And getting the full process done.
It's a pretty good turnaround, though. If anybody doesn't know out there, guys, that the Panteo Productions, they have an IG page too. You can always hop on the Range podcast and see the links that we have and the all the activity we have between our podcast and Panteo Productions. That also includes going to our individual IG pages. We have Linktree on there. You can go check us out and look for all these videos and DVDs and we're starting to get our podcast past episodes loaded up there as well. So, well, I tell you what, Rick, do you have the mailbag with you again, or is that something you want me to?
I'm going to pass the mailbag to you here in a second. There's one thing I wanted to hit real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
A buddy of mine over in the UK, he did a post the other day, referenced the knife crime they have over there. And just to the listeners out there, it's like, hey guys, if you guys are going to talk to either guys over in the UK or Australia, you have to understand that those countries have different gun laws than we do. So pretty much in the UK, those guys can't carry firearms. It's pretty much either the armed police, not all police are armed over there. So it's either the armed police or it's the military. So anyway, he was just trying to bring awareness because you've got a rash of knife violence going on over there where people think it's cool to stab each other and everything else. So you get people from the US going, man, if you guys just had guns. And he's like, hey man, we can't have guns.
Right.
So he's just trying to bring awareness to that. So I just say, understand this, guys. If you're a scholar of history, and I love to study history, think about this. In our Bill of Rights, why did the founding fathers make the Second Amendment the second one? Because when you go back in history, they were repressed from having arms. So that's why it's so important to us. Not every country out there has the same freedoms we do. We're blessed to have them, but just understand it's difficult when you start going, well, you guys should. Well, they used to, but unfortunately their government opted to change those rules and they no longer, you know, have firearms in the classic sense like we do, as far as especially pistols for carrying and stuff like that. Now, there are firearms in the country. You know, they've got them for the target shooting and for like hunting and stuff like that. But handguns, man, that's just not, you know, very rare. There's a lot of government control, paperwork, all that other stuff. So just be aware if you're going to comment, especially on social, to somebody, either UK or Australia, just be aware of that.
Yeah, that's, you know, another thing too, how important it is that we do have the, you know, the First and the Second Amendment seems to be the ones that everybody's always talking about over here. We have, a, you know, several more, but if you go to something, a situation like that you just talked about, and you see how lucky we are to have that, and with this mm-hmm. pandemic, you know, we dipped our pinky into that pond of kind of visiting that set of circumstances, hopefully people aren't liking it. You know, they're not liking being told what to do when it doesn't make sense. And those little teeny things that are being infringed upon with the stay-at-home orders, just imagine, you know, that extending all the way to truly not being able to say what you want and truly not being able to own a firearm, and how big yeah. of a difference that would make you feel as just your personal safety and your feeling of freedom. And UK is a free country. So, those are all free countries. Oh, yeah. That's yep. something to think about every day I wake up, well, and I thank God I'm in the United States of America.
Yeah, buddy. And I mean, we saw that when this pandemic first hit, firearm sales through the roof,
yep.
you know, so there's all kinds of people out there where they're, you know, and that's the thing. Nobody got the numbers on that one, whether they were first time, you know, firearms purchasers or whether it was just people buying, you know, firearms after the fact. But yeah, there was a huge spike.
And you know what, the two things we just talked about, you know, taking our little free trial of not being able to be free all the time and then not being able to get a firearm if you walked in the store for the first time or this first time you ever tried to buy a firearm and now you can't.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe something good will come out of that and people will realize, hey, man, maybe I need to back off of the gun rights thing and take and stop taking it for granted. So
that's it.
Know. All right, buddy. I want to dip into the
what you got in the mailbag?
A lot of mail in.
Sounds deep.
Now we just got one. I'll let you start off and get your 2 cents, and I'll add mine. Rita H. from Florida. First thing to consider if I want to buy a firearm for the first time.
So I would say this. Why are you purchasing the firearm? So I kind of covered this a little bit in my concealed carry instructional video. So for me, it was just like when I was teaching North Carolina concealed carry, I would always ask people, are you willing to take another human being's life?
Yeah.
And some people would say no.
Yeah.
And which is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, you know, if you're going to buy a firearm, if you're using it for self-defense and you haven't thought, I actually might have to kill another individual, you probably need to take a step back and just do some thinking. Now, if your answer is no, and you just want to go out there and target practice, and that's your hobby or whatever the case may be, no problem with that. I got zero traumas. But if it's for a self-defense application, that would be, the first thing I would say before you even do it. And then I would follow it up with, if that is your choice, go out and seek a reputable firearms instructor and get some good training. And I would also say, at this day and age, playing right into this last instructional video we did, look at getting yourself an airsoft replica of the same firearm that you have. Now you can actually do some practicing at the house along with your regular firearm and just have a good solid firearms training plan.
Yep. Yeah, to piggyback on top of that, the big thing is to think about what you're going to use it for, obviously. And then the second one is training. And make sure you get out there and you vet whoever you want to go to. There's a lot of good instructors and a lot of places you can take basic safety, handling, storing without actually having to go out on the range. There's a lot of things you can do, introduction to firearms for teens. There's all kinds of programs out there. So yeah, think about what you want for it. And another big consideration is being able to store it properly. And a lot of those classes will cover that, being able to secure it and make sure that an untrained individual can't get their hands on
And
it.
it kind of goes right into the instructional video we shot this weekend, Mark. We basically did the same building block methodology that we would for regular firearms, except we're just using airsoft as a supplemental tool. And now going, hey, I have this airsoft, I can still do the same thing. I can still draw from the holster. I can still, depending on where you live at, we showed how to make improvised targets, how to use some of the electronic targets. If you're outside, just different ways that you can keep your skills up. And I know for me, it was at SHOT Show when I went to the EVIC booth and shot that gunpowder electronic target, man. I was like, dude, this is something right here. So like right now I can get done the podcast, walk down into the garage because that's where I've got my target set up, and I can go do, some airsoft training where I'm actually getting hits on a target. So don't get me wrong, it's still good to dry fire with your regular firearm, but now I can actually put projectiles out to make sure that I'm manipulating my trigger. And oh, by the way, I can manipulate it numerous times versus just kind of the one squeeze you get with your regular
Yeah,
firearm.
what a great advantage for that. Especially you said that many of these companies will actually produce an airsoft replica that fits in the holsters that you carry every day. Yeah, of course you'd have to do some research on finding out which ones those are, make sure you have the right model, but that what a great advantage that is.
Yeah. Yeah, you do because, like, for example, a couple of the pistols I had, that was one of the things of just verifying with the manufacturer, hey, I've got this holster, does it fit this one? So just take a little bit of time, don't now the Archon I got from EVIC, that thing there was no, that is like two spec because I can run the same holster for either my live or my dry or my airsoft. So that's a huge Benny right there.
One thing about vetting the instructors when you go, even if you're going to take a safety class or just an introductory class, it's not necessarily a concealed carry class, certification class, make sure you vet those instructors. I rarely hear a good story when a young lady like Rita H from Florida goes with their significant other boyfriend or something like that to the range for the first time. I don't typically hear great stories from that type of scenario. It's not that the folks aren't trying to help, but if they're not a vetted instructor that you've spoken to prior to attending the class, if you do a little bit of homework, it's going to go a long way.
Absolutely.
And many times, the person who's trying to arm themselves, protect themselves, or get into a shooting sport, end up having a bad experience and then never go back again. And that's the last thing that you want someone who's considered protecting themselves with a firearm to do. You want them to get trained and be able to protect themselves.
And you want them, at the end of the day, to be
Oh, yeah.
comfortable with whatever firearm they have. It's like, all right, it shouldn't be where I've got to load it for you, and then it's okay, it's either in the lockbox by the nightstand, or it's wherever you're storing it at, because you can't physically manipulate that
Yeah.
firearm. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it that people just don't think about. And hopefully, when you're sitting there doing your vetting process, just, hey, have you ever worked with a first time firearms owner? Might be a
Yeah.
question I'd ask. Yeah,
Yeah.
sure.
Yep. Great question to ask.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're getting close to the end. What do we usually do around this time, Rick? We usually mention someone that we want to shout out who's doing great things or an industry partner. You got anybody that you want to throw out there today?
Yeah, we'll throw a big shout out. So Tactical Distributors, we partnered with them just prior to this last video shoot. So they're a clothing apparel company. And I tell you, man, it's, for me, I'm super picky when it comes to especially my pants, man. I've got some people, because again, I carry a pistol concealed. So I've got some pants that fit true to what their size is, and that's good. I've got some that's a little bit snugger. So when I go there to buy, my pants, I want to make sure they fit. Well, the beauty with, Tactical Distributors, man, they've got a couple different models there. But the one jeans I went with, they were the McQuaid's. Little play, I'm sure, on Lone Wolf McQuaid. So I might date myself. If you guys haven't watched it, go check it out. Old Mr. Chuck Norris there. But super flexible pants. I like it where, it's got that stretch material in there. So I've got a lot of great movement, as far as my legs. Because again, just because we're carrying our firearm doesn't mean we may not have to use our hands or our legs to defend ourselves. And then, waist size was good, but it's got that flex in there so that now I'm not concerned with trying to, conceal my firearm, whether it's either appendix or strong side, and not being able to get it in there. So definitely go check those guys out. If you forget what it is, you can always go to warhog.com under the partners page. You'll see Tactical Distributors on there. Just hit their logo. It'll take you right to their site. But yeah, they've got some great stuff, bunch of different style pants in there, tops, all kinds of stuff. So I'd definitely go give them a shake.
All right, buddy. Well, it's been a pleasure again. Another episode in the books. It's getting more fun every time we do it. A lot of good questions. Hey, guys, if you want to hit our individual IG pages, Warhog Tactical and Kelly Defense, we also have the On the Range podcast IG handle. Go there and send us your questions so they can be answered on the air. Appreciate Rita H from Florida for sending in her question this week. So, anything else you got today, buddy?
No, that's it, man. Just to recap your riff at the beginning, man, spot on. Always a good way to open it. Might as well end it that way. And yeah,
Yeah, we'll
man,
bring it on home.
give
I
the
used to shred a little bit, still do every now and then, but
dude, you got it. You got it going on, So you can double dip with Kelly Defense and sit there, not only get some firearm training, but maybe a little guitar 101,
Yeah, it would have taken off if it wasn't for the lockdown, I guarantee it. All right, Rick, stay safe, and we'll see you next time, guys.
All right, Mark, take care, buddy. Guys, stay safe.